Blog Talk Radio.
This meeting is being recorded. Are muted.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of hashtag I am so sorry. I'm laughing because I am, Susan, this is all you. I am so excited. Welcome to another episode of hashtag My Investing Story. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master wealth builder. Today, I'm very excited to have a friend on sharing her hashtag My Investing Story for us. But let me just talk a little bit about who we are and what we do and who we're not. All right? We are volunteers, Iona McNeil and I, with Better Investing. And Better Investing is actually a 501c3 nonprofit organization formed in 1951 as the National Association of Investors. And this organization has created over 5 million people from all walks of life to learn how to have a better quality of life in the financial area of our lives by utilizing better investing tools. And those tools include investment clubs, it includes model clubs, it includes volunteers volunteering hours upon hours to help all of us learn how to analyze stocks and how to invest. And so this is it's a place for volunteers. And for those who want to learn more about investing and how to invest in investment education. Now, what we are not financial advisors. We are not day traders. We are not stockbrokers. We're simply volunteers with a phenomenal organization entitled Better Investing. And I talked earlier when I was just getting choked up about having Susan Billing on, because she is a phenomenal entrepreneur, serial. Susan, I'm going to call you a serial entrepreneur. And tonight, Iona McNeil and I are very excited to share Susan Gooding with you. Susan Gooding Livard, and you can correct me, is the CFO of the City of Miramar in Florida. She is an executive working in the city manager's office. She knows all aspects of municipal government, and she is also a CPA and a certified government finance officer. She holds a master's degree and a master's in accounting, a master's in business and a master's in accounting, as well as the owner of G&L Accounting Services, which is an LLC, and Government Finance Tutoring LLC. With all of that being said, she's also a volunteer in our Better Investing chapter. And so without further ado, I'm going to turn the program over to Ione. And again, Susan, welcome. And Ione McNeil, good evening, and how are you tonight?
Good evening. I'm excited too, to be honest. I think right before the show, my energy level just kind of spiked up because I'm excited to talk to Susan tonight and get a sense of her story. I think not just an opportunity to learn more about her, but recently I've been spending a lot of time with some other partners in our Model Investment Club, and then some visitors of our Model Investment Club, and we've started a weekly routine of getting together, watching videos, having conversations. And I've just come to a great realization that many people in the finance industry or that have master degrees are, they still don't know how to invest. And so I'm excited to talk to Susan because I'm really excited for her to share her story with other people because we're going to go all the way from the beginning to now. I know the last text I think Susan sent me maybe a few months ago was like she's helping some friends and family members, I think in the Caribbean, start an investment club. So with that being said, Susan, how are you?
I am doing excellent today. Thank you for asking. It's an awesome day that the Lord has made. So I am doing well.
Good, good. Now, Susan, where are you from originally?
I am from the beautiful island of Tobago. So you're here, the twin islands, Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
I am from the smaller one, Tobago.
Okay, okay. Well, I think we have someone listening, Ms. Carolyn. She can let us know if she's from Trinidad or Tobago.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I'm from Trinidad.
So we will claim each other anyway.
Yes, ma'am.
Excellent. Love it, love it. So, so Susan, talk to us about being from Tobago, your earliest experiences and memories of money, and then when did you actually come to the United States?
Wow, that's a loaded. Those are loaded questions. So my early remembrance of money started back in my home country, Tobago. The island of Trinidad and Tobago and many other islands, there's something called susu, or it's like a merry-go-round where it's almost like a partner. Different islands call it different things. So a group of individuals would get together and they would pool money, and one person, depending on where you come on the merry-go-round, if you're the first partner or the second partner, or the 10th partner, depending on how many are within this group, and you will contribute a certain amount every week, and you will then depend on your time on the merry-go-round or the week of when you will collect your money, that you will get the lump sum of everyone's contribution. I will tell you, it's just like you are saving that money yourself. However, some of us need to get the money either faster or later on, and most people will do the susu or the merry-go-round right around the holiday time. So they will say, yes, I will start saving this money with my partners maybe in September because I want enough to shop for Christmas, to decorate the home, to buy the gifts for the children. So my earliest contact with money was when my grandmother exposed me to a 50-cent susu. It was 10 people, 50 cents, and at the end of the 10 weeks, I got $5. And my grandmother took me to the bank, and she opened a bank account for me with my $5.
Wow.
I was 5 years old.
Wow. So I have a question, a comment, so many things are going through my head.
You know, I have something to say about 5 years old. I have work to do. Thank you.
Yeah, we just had one of our family members turn 5 in September. So, yes, please
wow.
Get on that. But one, if you can, I know sometimes it's hard to put in words things that we are culturally exposed to and we take for granted. So if you can, talk to us about the purpose of a susu. And then what one thing I wanted to state, because I'm aware of susus, but I don't think what people don't understand or may not realize is that intrinsically there is trust there. And
yes.
I think that is a beautiful thing that needs to be stated because trust is not always present when money is present. And I want to state that clearly because I think your story is beautiful, but there's also this underlining thing we're taking for granted, which is trust. So could you explain to us a little bit about, to the best of your knowledge, what a susu is?
Yes, I will try to put it in the easiest way as possible. put it. So you depend on the number of people. You just say 10. You have to trust that each and every individual every week will put that 50 cents. So, yes, there was trust factor there. Because the person who's going to draw that that week will want to get their $5. Some will get $5 at the beginning of the first week, although they did not put the $5, all of the $5 in for that 10 weeks.
Right.
So there was trust to say that, you know what, that person, once they got their $5, they will continue to contribute each and every week for the remaining 9 weeks. Yes. And there was also trust at the end, the individual that is 10th week, that you know what, everyone will contribute. So by the time I get my $5, it will be there for me. So I think there was, they were building trust there, and I saw that trust very early on, now that you raised the question. You know, I never thought of the trust factor, but understanding what a SUSU is, and then later on migrating to the United States and heard of partners, I heard of many situations where there were not a lot of trust there. So I was not involved with the partners because I knew of the SUSU, and I said, you know what? It's all about saving and making sure that you are disciplined in putting away 50 cents every week, so at the end of 10 weeks, you get $5. So I know I could do that. I'm a very disciplined person. So I will tell you, once I migrated to the United States, I did not get involved with a partner because I was very, very good at going to the bank and putting my little 50 cents or my $1. I was a very disciplined in that area.
Yeah, and just so that anybody that really doesn't know what a SUSU is, and I'm aware of it from an African perspective and also a Caribbean perspective, generally the people putting their money in have some type of, like you mentioned, a personal goal that they're going to use it for. I know even before microfinance was a term, different communities on the African continent were, you know, doing SUSUs in order to raise the capital or get the money they needed in order to start businesses or expand agriculture or farm or, you know, just different reasons. So
correct.
Since you brought it up, just wanted to share that. You're welcome. When did you come to the U.S. and for what reason?
Well, I came to the United States at a very, very young age. My parents migrated here. I was telling your mom earlier, I come from a very large family. There are 12 of us. My mother and father had 12 children. Could you imagine that household? So there was opportunity for my father to come away to the United States to work. He came, he took advantage of that, and he came back and he got my mom. Both my mom and dad came and they worked while the 12 of us, 12 siblings, stayed with our grandmother, you know. So, again, family was so important in the Caribbean, I would say, in my family, because my grandmother had to trust that my mother and my father had to come out here and work and send money back. And she took care of my great-grandmother. So it was my great-grandmother, my grandmother, and my 12 siblings. And, you know, in a loving family, we were in a two-bedroom home. But at the age of 14, my parents, three siblings came up ahead of me. Two came up with me, myself. Then we came up three at a time until all of the 12 siblings were all in America. So I came up at a very, very young age. I came up to the United States at the age of 14.
Wow.
And as you can see with the gray hair in my head, I am quite here for a while, right? I've been here for a while.
Wow. So we know that you eventually become a CPA, but could you talk to us a little bit about coming to the U.S., being in school, deciding to go to college, deciding your major, and then getting a job? Because I want to know that process of picking a career, and then when did you find out about investing?
Right. So I would say from a very young age, even back into the islands, I was very good with numbers. I would say my best subject was math. But that was not, being a CPA was not something that the teachers guided me and said, oh, Susan, you are so good that you could be a CPA one day or a financier one day. So coming to the United States really has exposed. I got to thank my parents, my mother and father, for having that foresight and for taking the chance to come where they can make a better life for our family. And I definitely know that my parents sacrificed a lot, came here. So when the opportunity came that I was here in the United States, I went to high school. I started from the ninth grade, went to high school, graduated. It was hard at first, but graduated. Then I knew I wanted to go to college. What I wanted to study, I did not know. I probably thought pretty low. I love law. I love to read. I love history. So I said maybe I'll become a lawyer. But I was a very shy person. So I said, you know what? I don't think that will work. Nonetheless, I knew that I had to go to college, and that was something. Being the first in the family to go to college. So I am number 5 of the 12 siblings. I just wanted to put that in perspective. So I was the first to go to college, realizing that, no, I don't just want to come and work. I want to go to school. I like school. I always like school. I'm still in school. I'm still studying. I'm always learning. I'm away at a conference right now, so always. But I was exposed in college to these different subjects, finance, banking, and I really realized accounting that I loved it. I loved it. Didn't know anything about a CPA, graduated, a bachelor's degree in finance and a bachelor's degree in business administration because you tend to perform where you're best at. So I gravitated to those numbers and understanding money and banking and all of that good stuff. However, did not get into the stuff, didn't realize what I can do with it. Henceforth, came out of college, started to work. I've worked in banking. I've worked for government. And just the people that you are exposed to and who you are around, then they open up different opportunities. It was, I must say this, and this is probably the first, it was a boyfriend of mine that I was seeing at the time who said, you know, Susan, you are very good with numbers. Why don't you become a CPA? I said, what is a CPA? So I started researching it. And I got an understanding of what I needed to get to that next level, being certified in public accounting. And went ahead and did my master's. I did two master's, my MBA, and then I concentrated in accounting. And then later on, I went and did a master's in accounting because in the state of Florida, they required you to have a certain amount of education before you sit for the CPA exam. So I needed that extra education to sit for the CPA exam. And I went ahead, studied, and was successful. In 1998, I obtained my CPA license. And I would say from that moment, the doors of opportunity just began to open for me.
Wow. Well, thank you for taking us on that journey. I know in hearing you, it's reminding me of last week's guest, Jennifer Felton, who shared, and I don't think I'll ever forget this, but she shared that where she came from, there was only one way to make money, and that was through work. Well, it was two ways to make money. One, to do it honestly, which is through working. The other one is through scheming. And so the reason I'm loving your story and many of the guest story is because for many of us, our awareness of the only way to make money is through working. So talk to us about at what point in your career, we're already in 98, in, you know, 1998 in your story, at what point in your career or what colleague or what coworker, you know, probably passed your desk and asked, you know, are you investing or did you sign up for the 401k plan? How did that, you know, awareness of investing even come about for you?
Oh, really? I would love to share that. So let's go back 2 years before 1998 when I passed the CPA exam. I had an opportunity to work for, since I knew I wanted to sit the CPA exam, I said I have to work for a CPA firm because I don't want to go back to school and do all of this studying and don't utilize what I studied. So there was a small black CPA firm that gave me an opportunity. I was 36 years old, and he said, Miss Susan, are you kidding me? We normally hire people coming into this auditing arena at a very young age, you know, they are out of college, you have had years of working experience. I said, just give me an opportunity, and I would not disappoint you. And so said so. They gave me an opportunity. I joined the CPA firm in 1996. And I remember 96, 97, 98 when I got my CPA. The partner of the CPA firm would come in and we have meetings and he would say, does anyone know what the Dow Jones is doing today? And I said, what is the Dow Jones? You know, that was just, now anyone challenge me and ask me a question, I don't want to be showing up the next time. So I would go and find out what that is, you know. So around that time, there was something called the Wall Street Journal. Okay. So I obtained the Wall Street Journal, and I started in looking at the Wall Street Journal with a friend. I'm saying, what are these letters up and down? I didn't understand, but I'm a reader anyway, but I'm going to find out the information. But nonetheless, in 1998, I also met my husband at that particular year, at that same CPA firm. In 1998, said, okay, let's look at the Wall Street Journal. You pick five stocks, and I would pick five, and then we will just see. We'll hold it for 6 months and see how it's doing. I didn't understand anything about that, but I knew how to read those numbers in the Wall Street Journal. And it was just by name. I didn't pick them out of any strategic method. I just picked the name because I liked the name, or okay, it sounds familiar to me. And we played a game for 6 months. And we had $1,000, and we played a game. Let's see, at the end of 6 months, let's see how much money we will have at that 6 months.
Now, did you actually invest $1,000, or did
you? No,
hypothetical.
It was just a game. No, we
just
did not.
Hypothetical.
Just a game. So I pick five, you pick five, and we would read the stock, read the Wall Street Journal every day just to see if it goes up, and you know, it would go up like 18 cents, point, you know, so we would just track it for that six, and that's without investing at all. Now, okay, fast forward, 1999. Now, I left the CPA firm and went to work with the city of Miami. Okay, that was my step and my entrance into the governmental arena of so many years of experience. And when you go into government, you know we have pension plan, right? So you start putting your money. They didn't tell you how much you had to put. They did tell you. But you had no say to say, no, I don't want to put this money because you're not giving me enough in my check. This is the amount that you put away for your pension plan. There was also something that I was exposed to, which was 457. At that time, they did not, based on my position that I were at, I did not get a match. But I started reading up about the 457, and I would also set aside some money to the 457. Because I've always been a saver. I figure, okay, this is a one way to save money. Didn't understand the future, building wealth. I didn't understand all of that yet. Okay, so the pension plan, you have to put this into the pension plan. I put it at 3%. I started with a 3% in the 457. And then, you know, if you put it away, it was pre-tax dollars. Of course, why not? So that was my first exposure to 457 and 401 when I entered in 1999 into the city of Miami and opened up to that particular arena.
Wow. Wow. So even when you got your CPA license, You were not investing at that original firm.
Nope, I was not.
And you were already 36 by this time.
Oh, yeah, 38 at that time.
Right.
38. Wow. I was born in 1960. I was 38. But, you know, I would tell you, being around certain people, you are just exposed to different things. And I began hearing about stocks. And I said, okay, yeah, the 457, fine. I don't remember, my memory may be failing me, I don't remember if the advisor that came in with the 457. It was Nationwide. We had Nationwide, we had ICMA, and they would sit down with you. If they actually, you know, and they'd explain where you're putting your money, how you just diversify it within the small amount that you may be putting in, you know, I don't know if they gave any advice as to where to put it. You know, I'm not, I wouldn't say that they did. But nonetheless, this was a way of putting aside money, and I'm always that. I would put aside those little acorns, be it in savings, be it in saving bonds or whatever it was. That was just another avenue for me to put aside. So I was exposed to the 457, to the 401, and the pension, it just automatically comes out. So, yes. I did not start investing much, much later, Ione.
That's why we have you as a guest. That's why we're sharing your story, because you know, not everybody gets a chance to start early because they don't know. But I'm loving the fact that you're willing to share. Two questions I have. One is the 6 months that you're with your friend, looking at, you know, following the five stocks of the Wall Street in the Wall Street Journal, just this kind of hypothetical situation. Yeah. Number one, what did you learn? What did you learn most about that?
You know, I can't remember how much I had at the end of that 6 months, but what I did learn was how to read what was going up and what was going down and how to really look into what these companies were doing. I'm telling you, that was my first exposure to say, yeah, okay, this was Laureate or this was Carnival, but really did not understand what I know today, did not understand that I could own a little piece of these. Although I was reading the Wall Street Journal, I did not understand that aspect of it.
Wow, I'm so glad you made that point because, you know, you probably just spoke to a lot of people back then because, again, you know, sometimes, and I'm probably going to say this all throughout the night, I'm so glad you're sharing your story because, you know, a conversation I was just having last weekend, we have to take it upon ourselves to ask questions. You know, nobody is just going to give us this information. And I'm loving the fact that you, even back then, were committed to learning. And that 6 months, even though you didn't know then what you know now, that was 6 months of a commitment learning process, exposing yourself even to ticker symbols and numbers and change and 52-week high and low. And I mean, but people, I think, are underestimating how much impact just exposure really makes. So the second question I have is, you know, taking a job at the City of Miami and contributing, this is non-negotiable, contributing to your pension, but also saying, you know what, I'm going to do this 557 plan. Were you, if you can remember, did you just choose to put money in there, or did you do the second step of deciding what it was going to be invested in? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because right now a lot of people think that they are investing simply because they are putting money into a retirement account. What they do not realize is that they have cash sitting in a retirement account. They have to do the next step, which is decide what that money is to be invested in. So if you can remember, talk to us a little bit about when you were, you know, like you said, squirreling the acorns away, was it just putting the cash in the retirement account, or were you actually also deciding what it was going to be invested in?
You are absolutely right. It was just putting it in there. I did not understand, and I didn't know if it was to put at my age, to put 60% in growth and to put this 40% in bonds or cash or whatever. Did not. I just know I had to put something away and did not understand the 457. It was not until later, and I went from city to city to city. Now, I will tell you, every time I did, I learned a little more. I really learned a little more about the 401, the 457, the pension plan. So it was all about having a pension at the end of when it's time for you to retire. and I've moved from city to city to city, just growing, you know, my knowledge within that arena. It was not until much later on, Ayun, and I'm going to tell you, it was in 2015, when I did and became licensed as an insurance agent, that I really dived into 401, 457, and pension plan and understand that arena. It was these many years. So,
right.
Yeah.
So this is almost 18 to 20 years later.
Correct. Correct. You, I see the knowledge was not there as to what all of these plans are for, the 457, what you can do, how you can go in and say, hey, I want my money. You just wanted to make sure your money was growing. And I'm telling you, it's out there to the government arena. We do a disservice because we do not educate our personnel. We are telling them to stash this away, but we do not explain to them what they're doing and give them an understanding so they can make the best decision for their life and for their family life in the future. Tell me, it was just storing away. Had no indication of what all of this meant.
Wow. So what was it about in 2015? Because was that also the time that you joined BI?
I joined BI 1 year later. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
so we'll get there. We'll get there. So what was the experience of getting certified in insurance that opened your eyes wider? What information did you learn in that process that made you realize that you needed to be more proactive in investing and also aware of other options that were out there?
Right. So many things happened right around between 1999 and by the time I get to 2015 when I got the insurance license. I knew about life insurance. I had a term life for my parents. Didn't understand much about it because whoever the salesperson was, they didn't tell you, you know, what you could do. So I am a person, I'm very curious, and I want to know what I don't know. So I think my mom passed in 2011, and then my dad passed in 2014, 2015, 4 years later. And I paid a life insurance, a $10,000 life insurance for both of them for over 20 plus years. I took this term life insurance when they were in their 60s. My mom died at 80 and my dad died at 84. And I will tell you, it was a $10,000 term life insurance. When I presented the death certificate, they gave me the $10,000. But I tell you, I probably saved more or paid them more than that $10,000 for all the years that I have. And I said, I need to understand this insurance business a little better so that my family members don't make this mistake again. And I do not make this mistake again. So I went and I got my license in insurance. So I was exposed to the 457, 401, CD, what is considered where you don't have to pay any taxes, deferred, like, you know, all of those stuff. And I realized insurance policy, I'm going to say it how many times, this is also another wealth generation vehicle that we can leave legacy for our children. And most of us, and I'm saying, being the West Indian, I can't speak for the Americans, but I'm going to say that I've been here long enough to say Americans and the West Indians do not understand how we can utilize this vehicle to build wealth and build a legacy for our family. And it was diving into that and getting the understanding that and understanding what the 457 were about and what the 401, what my pension were about. So although I was putting money in pre-tax, when money coming back out, they're going to tax me to the hilt, you know? So I must say, I learned a lot. I learned a lot since I've given the insurance license. I really
you know what? no, I and sorry to interrupt. No, I'm so excited that, you know, and I just have to give a shout out to Caribbean women because they are one of the most educated, formally educated group that I know. If they are interested in something, they are not just going to go to the library. They are going to enroll in somebody's school and get a degree or get a certification in it. Mm-hmm. So just for my own guilty pleasure and hopefully for the benefit of everybody that's listening, talk to us a little bit about, and it could just be one very profound thing. How do you take that experience of basically, essentially, overpaying for term insurance on your parents, realizing that you pay more in premiums than the payout when they pass, and to then shifting your perspective to say that was an experience where the insurance really didn't serve me, to this is how insurance can help families build wealth. In what way?
You know what? So that's where the CPA, all that finance knowledge kicked in after, because, you know, I could go back and I could calculate all the premiums I've paid over the years and realize that, okay, I paid this premium. If I had set that money aside in a bank, and I was just thinking the bank, get even investment in a stock, setting aside in the bank, but the interest rate that was given at that time come out way better than that $10,000. Way better than that $10,000. So I needed to do something totally different. It would not happen to me again. It would not happen to my family members. So I have to be, to get educated so I can help others now. And, you know, that's my goal, that's my passion, in helping others. And then I learned that this insurance could be a legacy that you just pass on. And I'm going to just give this example, Eileen. So say, for instance, this, even the term insurance that I got from my parents, and there are 12 of us, and I took that policy, that term life out for $1 million, and I have 11 siblings there, and I made the 12, and we all contributed, even a small portion, over the period of time that I had this policy. Let's say 20 years. The policy was consistently going up each and every year because they were older. Let's say for 20 years, and we set aside, we understood this vehicle, and I got my family together and said, hey, brother, sister, let's pay $1 million policy for our mother and father. You contribute $100, I contribute $100, and we do this. The putting aside that money would not come to $1 million. But guess what? When our parents came past, we would have been $1 million richer. That I could have then divided among my 11 siblings.
So the action of paying for the insurance, and that you already had that regular savings habit, it wasn't an issue of the action itself. It was just the amount that you locked in.
Correct.
Ah.
So okay. I imagine if I knew about investing and stocks and all of those things how many years ago, and putting aside that premium into stocks, it would have been more than $10,000. You know? It would have been more than that. But that insurance, I'm telling you, insurance is another vehicle for us American, Caribbean, whoever is listening out there, to build wealth for your family. And the sad thing about it, Irene, it was I could afford to pay the premium. When we are getting into these vehicles, we are saying, oh my God, I can't afford this $150 every month. I can't afford this, you know. But guess what? Looking back, I could have afforded 10 times. I could have afforded 10 times. We are so short-sighted. We are so limited in our thinking that we don't see beyond where we are. So, wow. I said that opportunity will not be missed again. You see what I'm saying? It was not And if I have to present a life insurance policy to someone who is in need, I would make sure that as an agent, I would explain what this vehicle can do for not just you, but also for you and your family. And I think that when I purchased that term life, it was not. The person, understanding the person was a new agent, but they did not partake that knowledge to say, young lady, this is what you can do. You know what? You can really afford this. Don't get caught up with this few pennies right now. You can afford it.
I am so glad you took the conversation there, because I need to go on record. Anybody who is somebody that's listening to this, new or old, you can hold me to it. I have been telling people recently, within the past week, please believe that most people, sometimes just like you, are going through the motions at their job. You call, I call, I'm going to put them on Front Street. I called Charles Schwab last week. My own, you know, edification, needed some help on something. And I get someone, first of all, who's in the wrong department, putting me on hold to transfer to another department, to then come back and tell me an answer, which didn't seem right. So I asked the young man, what department are you in? Oh, I'm in trading. I'm like, why don't you forward me to the retirement department? My question is the retirement rollover question. Why are you trying to answer it? So all that to say, I have to say this because, and Susan, I think you can understand, right? As we are new to learning about money, we're new to learning about finance, we're new to learning about investing, call institutions asking for help. We call insurance agents asking for help. And because that is their job, we assume that they know what they're talking about. Correct?
Correct.
And we end up doing ourselves a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a PSA from Ione McNeil, public service announcement. If you are listening to hashtag My Investing Story, please do not put the person you are asking the question to on a pedestal, especially if that's their job, because more often than not, they are just doing their job. They are going through the motions, telling you what the script says, telling you what the sales pitch says. You cannot expect them to educate you, because more often than not, they do not have it themselves. That includes your tax accountant. That includes your own personal or business, CPA. That includes a lot of people, because Susan, and I want you to speak to this, even with degrees and certifications in the world of money, finance, whatever, investing, many people know the scope to pass the test. They are not, they do not know how to even apply that knowledge, sometimes personally. Right?
So I would say this. A CPA license covers a gamut of different areas you can go into. Now, my specialty is government. You know, I've spent many years in government. I can tell you everything about government administration, everything about government finance. I can tell you about your bonds, where the money comes from, where the money goes. I am not a tax person. So not just because I'm a CPA, it doesn't mean you come and ask me a tax question. I know that. So don't just take it for granted, as you say, that you see those initials behind them, but there are so many other areas that people can get into. I would not do you justice in giving you an answering you on a tax question. I would not.
Right. And a tax accountant a tax accountant will not give you investing advice.
Correct.
Right. So I just have to put that very plainly, because I think when we come from not knowing, number one, and not being exposed to other people who know, as soon as we know that somebody works in the field, or not even in the field, as soon as we know somebody that works with money, We think that they know all
they
things
know
about money. Right?
Correct, and that is not so.
Oh, let me call them.
Yeah.
And then you get whatever advice from them, and you like, oh, well, they work with money. Right?
Mm-hmm. They should know. Correct.
So I know we do it. You know, I know somebody that may be a divorce lawyer, and because all I hear is they're a lawyer, so I'm going to ask them any type of lawyer question.
Correct.
Like that.
Correct. It doesn't work like that.
No,
it does not.
No. But the majority of people don't know that. So I had to be frank in that moment to say that, and because, again, I think that as we are learning ourselves, we have to give ourselves the chance to really understand this, and we do ourselves a disservice when we take that approach. Such and such works with money. Let me go ask them about this. More often than not, a lot of people get got, and you have to remember if a person is an employee in a role, more often than not, they're just an employee. You know, they have not synthesized this information, and they may not even be doing it personally. They may be working at an investment firm. They may be working at a bank. They may not be savers. You know, they may not be investors. So don't get mad at the people. Just be diligent and persistent and
yes.
Continue to ask.
Do your homework. Correct.
Yeah, you have to ask different
yes.
people the same question and not, you know, throw up your hands or get easily frustrated, because understanding this is a mystery. That's why a lot of people don't know it. So, you know, we applaud you for being on this journey of self-education and investing. But just know it's not going to be easy. And
yeah.
you have to have a certain level of initiative. So with that, I do want to jump because I don't know if you want to share your age at this point, but not this point, but the point of the story we're in, which is you have been contributing money to retirement accounts, but they've just been essentially you've been saving for retirement, not investing for retirement.
Correct.
And we're going to jump 1 year ahead to when you find out about Better Investing. How did you find Better Investing, and what type of notebook went off when you first came into contact with us?
I'm going to say I'm excited about this story. I am going to say Better Investing found me. So it just so happened that I was at a seminar in 2016. And your mom was also at that seminar. But this was something always in my mind, because I'm always curious. I want to know more. I know what I don't know. And there's so much I think I know, but there's so much I know I don't know. I don't know everything. And she got up and she introduced herself, and she mentioned that she was in an invest club. Okay, so that's 2016, Ione. So let's go back 2 years. In 2014, myself and another friend, okay, this is a girl, I said, you know what, we got to get into the stock market. Come on, girl. We got to get into the stock market. We got to know what this is doing. I'm hearing about this
and
stock market.
Are you in your 50s by this time?
Yes. I'm 56 as a matter of fact. 56, you know. I would gladly share my age. So I said, come on, we got to get into this thing. And I said, okay, this is how we did it. I've always been a saver, as I stated. I've been collecting savings bonds. Wherever job I went to, savings bonds or Series E savings bonds, I said, you know what? I want to do something better. So I took my savings bonds, and I went and I cashed them in at the bank, because for years I've been collecting these. And when the guy told me how much money I had, I almost fell off the chair, because I couldn't believe that those little bonds accumulated and the interest over the time. And I decided, myself and the young lady, we decided in 2014, that was January of 2014, for the new year, you make your new year resolution. And for 4 months, we said, we are going to pick some stocks and stocks that we're going to go to. And we did the game all over again, because I said, I remember this game. 2014, I cashed those savings bonds in. I got $4,000. And I went and opened a Scottrade account because I was really serious. I was ready to get into this investing in stocks. Okay? So I've had money in the pension plan, money in the 457, money in the Roth, money in the bank, money in real estate. So now stocks was my last little one, you know, money in the insurance that I said, okay, I have not ventured into that I need to get into. And that's how 2014, I started my Scottrade account with $4,000. I picked 10 stocks. There wasn't any methodology of how I picked it. I was saying, okay, you know what, I like this. The idea was to pick stocks that were under $10. And we didn't want to, you know, because, you know, we're just trying under $10. I didn't say anything over $10, no. But I remember I wanted to pick companies that I know, okay? So as a young woman, 50, having children, I have three children, I remember these kids saying, Mommy, I want to go to Wendy's. We were not a McDonald's person. We were not a Burger King person. Mommy, I want to go to Wendy's. Mommy, I want to go to Wendy's. And I said, okay, I need to invest in Wendy's. And that's when I said, okay, I'm going to get me some Wendy's stock. And that was one of the companies I bought back in 2014. Wendy's, I only, if I dare to say, I bought Wendy's at $8.99 in 2014. I also bought some JCPenney. We all know what happened to JCPenney. So I've learned along the way, but that was my first sprout. So 2016, met Anne. She said, yes, I'm in an investment club. So I had a conversation after with her. Well, I want to get into an investment club because I want to do better. I want to learn this. I want to be around the people who are investing so I can garner some of that knowledge and do a better job with my portfolio, the portfolio I was just starting in 2014. So she invited me to the South Florida Better Investment Chapter meeting, which is in Plantation. So I live in North Lauderdale at that time. Plantation is not too far, half an hour down the road. I could do that. And I committed to go to that meet every Saturday, once a month. I was there. I will tell you, my first year, I did not understand anything. My second year, did not understand any, and I came from a finance background. So, but what I did, I was like a sponge right in that room. I just sucked up everything, learned everything. And I will tell you, I know the methodology was, okay, you have to invest regularly. I don't know the four methodologies, invest regularly. And I said, okay, Susan, how often are you going to invest? Are you going to invest once a month? Are you going to invest every 6 months or a year? Okay, I said, okay, Susan, every 6 months. So I would save my little money. I would set aside that in an account, and that would be my little investment. I would go down to Scottrade, and I would put my little money in, and I would tell them how much I want and what stock I want over the counter, and they would do it for me. Every 6 months, I would do that. June, and I would do it in December. I was consistent. Every year, I would garner that little dollars, and I would go down. But my years at that Better Investment in the South Florida chapter from 2016 to where I am 2021, I have learned a lot. I have learned how to analyze my stocks. I have learned how to pick good growth and value stocks. I have learned how to reinvest those dividends. And I know that I am in this for the long term. Now, looking back, I can say, yes, I wish I knew all of that way back when I started. But nonetheless, I said, wherever I am, I will start. And I'm proud to say, Ione, I am 61 years old. January, I'll be 62 years old.
Wow. Well, you know, I didn't even know that part. You know, we have people on the guest because I selfishly want to know even more about them. But I love that. Oh, my gosh. I mean, and again, there's nothing that beats honesty, transparency, vulnerability. Yep. Because for you to be so accomplished, for you to be at the age that you're at, and for you to say, you know what, I'm still a saver. I'm on my level of regularity is twice a year. I've been attending Better Investing classes for 2 years. I still don't understand what Nick is saying or Ayodhya is saying. You know, but like you said, you stay committed, and now you get it. Now it's sinking in, the exposure. Talk to us about why you, and wait, is the South Florida Chapter Model Club your very first investment club that you're part of?
Absolutely, and I thank you guys for starting that model club, because when I first got in, I was looking for an investment club, but no one was admitting. You know, everyone has their rule and the time of when they're going to admit someone in. But I stay committed to Better Investment, coming to the chapter meeting. And then we started our own one. So, yes, this is what my first. So excited. Oh, my goodness. So excited.
Yes, and you know what I also love about your spirit, Susan, too, is not only did you come and join the monthly education meetings that the South Florida Chapter of Better Investing were putting on, you stayed for the board meeting. You were like, I'm learning this stuff, but I also want to volunteer. And so it's always beautiful when beginner investors are not only willing to learn, but they're also willing to sit and listen and lend a hand. And so talk to us about the process you're in right now to start a family investment club or a family and friends investment club. I think you all started a few months ago. How did that come about? What's that process?
So it was all the knowledge and all of the excitement. I'm telling you, when I go into something and I'm excited about something, I dive right in. So that was normal for me to say, yes, let's stay to the board meeting, because I want to be around the people who know more than I do. You know, if I'm the only one who knows that there's something wrong, because I don't know everything. So I wanted to be around the Ioni, the Ann, the Nick, the Tonys. I want to be around all of you guys who have the millions and saving it, Sinclair, all of that. And, you know, I formed a great relationship with each and every one of you. Joining is absolutely fantastic. Oh, yeah, I would volunteer for anything. I mean, anything, because I know I'm in this for the long haul. I am committed, and I want to learn. So since then, you know, I was bring my daughters and my son and my nieces and my nephew to the beginners class. They're like, Mommy, I don't understand any of it. I said, no, you're going to get it one day. You will get it one day. So fast forward to 2021. I have shared it with my brothers and my sisters. I'm investing for my brother and my sisters, and I'm investing for my children. They have already started here. They hear Mommy talk about money and investing every single day of the week. So before, when we were not talking about it, because my parents did not talk about it, because they did not know. And I know now my children are going to hear. My nieces are going to hear. My nephews are going to hear. My grandchildren are going to hear, because I'm going to talk to them about it. I talk to my friends at work, my co-workers. I talk to my mastermind class. There's one, I have two mastermind groups, and at the fourth week, we talk investment. Let's start. Let's do that. Are you investing? Let's do this. Let's do that. So each and every, as much as I can share this story, Ioni, I am going to share this story. So in last year, 2020, with COVID, and you talked about me investing every 6 months and then every year, I really ramped it up. I really ramped it up. So every week I invest. Every single week I commit a certain amount to go into, and I really ramped it up, because guess what? At this age, I have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. I'm trying to make up from all of those 40 years, you know, that I didn't know what I was doing. So if I may just put a caveat right here, start young, expose your children, expose your grandchildren, start young, put in a way, because I'm doing that with my family. So the family members came together, and this was my husband's side of the family. You know, you talk to different family members. Some people will get it. Some people just don't get it. But my husband's side of the family, we formed an investment club. They are from all over. They are from England. They are from the Caribbean. They are from right here in the United States. And I modeled, because I was just so excited about the model club and what I'm learning and what we're doing and trying to expose the younger generation. I took our our standard operating procedures, our back, and then I modeled it after our mother club here in South Florida and opened a TV. And we are not doing the every single month like we're doing in our mother club. We made a decision just to say, hey, let's do this. Or put a certain amount of money. Everyone was to put $100 just to try, just to expose them to it. And 74 people, and only 74 people put $100 each, and we opened our TV Ameritrade investment club. And so we have monthly meetings. Sometimes quarterly, we have educational.
We got enough people for a chapter.
Oh my God!
I love that modification. Wow, that's beautiful.
I tell you, it was just how excited I was of what I was learning. That's what I am. When I learn something, I want to share, especially if I know it can benefit their life. And I know we have to. My next generation has to do better. You know, and the next generation after that has to do better. So we got to start teaching them so that what I am trying to do here now, it just doesn't go away with Susan. You know what I'm trying to say? My kids, my grandkids, my nephews, my nieces, I want to expose them more, because if I touch one and I can change their life, oh my God. You think about the ripple effect down the road of how many generations that could affect. If we understand money, if we know where our money is coming from, we know how to protect our money, and we know how to grow our money. So, yeah, I know we know how to work for the money, because as we're seniors, we can do 5-10 jobs. But why do all of that when we can have the money work for us?
Said it better myself. How many months have y'all been in investment? I'm about to give it to you. Hold on. I'm about to give it to you. I know. Susan, how long y'all been a club?
It's not a year yet. I know we just celebrated our 1 year, so it was after that I introduced us. We're probably about a good 6 months in.
Okay, 6 months. So about the beginning of this year. Y'all started.
Yes. It took a while to get all of those people to sign and send back the form and to turn it into TV America.
Susan, you've been working, girl.
I have.
Miss Ann.
All I can say is good night. See, now everybody can understand why I was stuttering so when we started, because Susan and I had another conversation before the program started, and of course Miss Doretha was eavesdropping in on the conversation, and she said, ooh, we need to do a show just on that. So Susan, I think we have to tell you on behalf of all of us, and for those of you that came on just a little bit late, we have been listening to hashtag My Investing Story of Ms. Susan Gooding. How do you pronounce the last name?
Liebert.
Liebert, and she's the CFO of Miramar, Florida. And she is a CPA, MBA, all of those letters, you name it, 2 or 3 different businesses.
Correct.
But her story has just been phenomenal. And Ione, I think we should take a vote from the people in the chat. And all of you that are interested in the chat, for us to have Susan to come back, because we still have not gotten into her better investing story, her being a volunteer. We've not gotten into any of that yet. And then the story we were talking about before the program started was this idea of trust and probate. We're not lawyers or anything like that, but I was sharing my personal story about how this program got started in terms of, just not knowing. And so like Ione said, Susan, we're so excited about the fact that you were willing to share and really be, and that's what all of our guests have done. They've just been so honest and authentic. I was reading something by, actually yesterday morning, very early, I was reading something by Emerson, and he said, the soul is the perceiver and the receiver of truth. The soul is the perceiver and receiver of truth. And when I read that, it reminded me of hashtag My Investment Story, because we come on and we share the truth about our stories of dealing with money, and it's something you don't hear anywhere. Everybody want to wear the stuff and, you know, look like you're all that broke. That's where I was. I can't talk about the rest of you. That's my story. That's how this came about, because my story, I said, you know what? My investing story, rags to not so raggedy. And so what I want to do is thank you so much, Susan, but I really want to check the chat. Now, if you did not vote for Susan, we're going to vote you off the boat.
No, people saying they want her back.
Yes. Yeah, everybody said yes, and some people just got carried away like Ann Newman. Listen, we love all of you that chime in with us, Barbara, Carolyn, and Angelina. You know I'm going to get in trouble calling people's name, Marshall, Michelle, Diane, and, you know, Venus, and, of course, Dan Harder, always. Just so diligent, Dana. Everybody, we want to thank you so much. I know our time is well spent, but I really think we should have you back, Susan. There's so much more to discuss. Ione, if you're talking.
Well, you know, I didn't want to cut your, I love hearing your recap. So can you do a little recap? Sometimes we have to go over the time just a little bit when we have guests that really bring it. And Susan, you know, that I was excited to have you on because doing this, you know, everybody we know who get into this, who are where we are, which is somewhere further than where they were, you know, wherever that is, they generally say, I wasn't exposed to talking about money growing up. And this is a weekly conversation that we have that you don't have to have that conversation. You can just invite people to come and listen to us have the conversation. This is no different than the family cookout, the family reunion, black women talking after church on Sunday. This is no different than that. So please, if you're listening, invite others to listen. If they want to be in community, in communion with others that are having these conversations, a safe space to ask questions and learn, share. Share with others. Don't feel the burden to have to know it, to give it. Just invite people to listen. And they'll take the initiative if they want to join and ask questions and engage and hopefully also join Better Investing. But I'm going to give it to you, Ms. Ann, because I want to hear these notes.
No, you're going to keep taking it back. That's what you...
Well, you know.
All right, Susan, I did take a couple of notes, and I tell you, I actually have a couple of pages. And one of the things that was so empowering for me is how you walk through your journey. And a lot of people, and I'm one of them, you know, we're sitting here listening, and just the idea that you are so accomplished, and I'm talking to all of us, and yet, you had no qualms about the desire to learn more and be willing to go the extra mile to do that. And the whole idea of going, you know, from city to city, and the whole conversation about the 401k and the retirement plan. But just I want to always start with the lack of knowledge. And we don't know what we don't know. And then the more we know, the more we desire to know more, if you will. And we'll have that mastermind conversation another day, Susan. But that is what, and that is one of the things we talked about, everybody, before the show started. We talked about probate and trust and those things, and I was sharing with Susan how, because we're also in the mastermind organization also, and I was sharing that we mastermind in 10 different areas of our lives, and one of them in our mastermind group, we read, and this was going back many years ago, we would read by authors. So we would choose, for example, like Susie Orman, and then we just read everything that she wrote. Took a couple of years. And another one was David Bach. And we read everything he wrote, and it took a couple of years. And so I could go on and on about the books, but going again, the Bed Investing Magazine, you can get a lot of that in one place. And so as all of you are listening to us, if you are not a member, even utilizing the free 90-day membership, please go to betterinvesting.org. And on the front page, sign up for the 90-day free membership and try it out. And if you decide you want to continue, you can. I think it's less than $100, right, Ione, the membership for you?
I'm promoting the plus membership, $120.
Okay, $120 is, $20 a month, really? So you cannot beat it. But also, Sue, I thought was very
$10 a month.
Yes, Shereen. That's my math. Okay, I'm on that twice a year. So $100 and 12 of you. The whole idea about the insurance, and I heard some friends who happen to be Jewish many, many, many years ago talk about the fact that they buy insurance policies as a legacy leaving for their family members, millions of dollars in the policy. And you are absolutely right. We don't have the conversation, but again, for lack of knowledge. And so this idea of wealth building to build wealth and add legacy for leaving for your family. You also talked about nothing to lose and everything to gain. I thought that was so powerful because at this point in our lives, and I want to say this, Susan, I would like to encourage you maybe to reframe the conversation about that insurance policy for $10,000. I think that it was the best education you could have received. It was an investment. So, and I say that because we also had a similar situation. And I chose to not be angry with the person that stole some money from me, which drove me to Bed Investing, but to look inside myself and say, I should have known when, blankety, blankety, blank. And so you're reminding me of that because you didn't get angry or bitter. You got smarter.
Correct.
And so and I want to share that with all of us because so often we must remember it's not what happens to us, it's how we respond.
That's
right. So those are just some of the comments. I'm not going to go over all of them because, again, we have not began to touch Better Investing yet as a part of your investing story. So for those of you that are joining us, like Ione said, please comment, like, and share this program. And please listen out for the future return of our special guest. And now you see why I got all choked up in the beginning because I knew this was going to be very exciting. So I'm not going to get choked up on the end. I'm going to turn it back over. Susan, if you have any closing comments, and you, Ione, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I just want to say you're absolutely right. We didn't even get to an extensive conversation of how impactful Better Investing has been for Susan. But what we have laid the groundwork on is the fact that she was very well educated, and to many others around her, they probably assumed that she knew investing already. But she is here today to share with us that was actually not the case. And it's really hearing somebody else's story to say, I went through all of that. I learned, and like you said, the not knowing to be in my 56, and even though I'm an accountant, I'm not an investor. And I really want people to understand that because for people who are educators, for people who are clerks, you know, they put people that deal with money and work with money on a pedestal, and all of us are equal in Better Investing, and all of us can have to learn from the beginning because once you learn investing, it's just a different way of thinking. You know, it's not the same as knowing just finance or knowing accounting or being a comptroller, you know. So that's just, to me, an invitation for everybody, wherever you are, even if you aren't comfortable with money, even if you feel like you're not good with math, you still can be a very good investor despite all of that. So, Susan, I would like to, you know, hand it to you if you have any closing remarks with or words of wisdom you would like to share with us before we part.
Well, it's very much. Thank you guys so very much for the opportunity, you know, to for me to share my story. And yes, I will accept that invitation of coming back to share part two of the story. But you got to hear the better investment part of the story. One thing I must say, we all must be our own money manager. I would say, do not let, you work for your money. Don't let anyone else manage your money. Don't give it away so freely to someone else thinking that they know more than you. They do not know more than you just because they have these credentials behind their name. Be your own money manager. And that was one of the things that I really wanted to do differently. I wanted to learn how to manage my money better. And one thing I have learned through this journey is time in the market is better than time in the market. So yes, if you can start early, by all means. Even if you don't understand, just start. That's my word of wisdom.
I love it. I love it. I think we need to retitle this episode as Be Your Own Money Manager.
Yes, and time in the market is more important than timing the market.
Yes. Well, thank you, Susan, so much. It really has been a pleasure and an honor to interview you tonight and to share your story, because we hope that by the time somebody is this far listening, that they feel inspired and feel a sense of hope for wherever they are, that they have the capacity and the opportunity to learn it and to do better for themselves. So with that, thank you, Susan. Thank you, Miss Ann. If you are not yet a Better Investing member, please visit betterinvesting.org, sign up for the free 90-day trial. And if you are a Better Investing member, share the wealth of Better Investing with someone else. Share and gift the magazine. Oh, there's a Better Investing gift membership. If you have family members that you want to give a holiday present to, call or email Better Investing and ask if you can purchase someone else, someone you love, a gift Better Investing membership. So with that, we're going to say good night and thank you all.
Bye. All right. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Goodbye.